sometimes of, not of ministry, but of the responsibility, it forces me to the feet of Jesus. And I want to stay there. I want to remain humble before the Lord. And when it comes to bringing the word to you, I don't take this lightly. On a Sunday morning or Saturday night, or if it was a Thursday at noon and I was in charge of bringing a word, I don't take it lightly. I got here this morning and I was praying and walking through the building. Just had a sense of a peace of God over us. And just a real mandate. I felt a real mandate from the Lord to remind us all what this is all about. There are so many times that I can find myself getting caught up in the tediousness of the work of the ministry and forget about the souls. Forget about that that's what it's all about. That there are folks that don't know that God loves them. And if they do, or if they've heard it, they need to be reminded. And if necessary, I have to use words from time to time, but much better if I just show them that God loves them. Amen? I just want to encourage us. You know, I walked back to the back of the room a few minutes ago, and there's just a small stack of invitations left for the summer, and that actually encouraged my heart. You know, I don't know whether you're giving them out or not, but you're definitely taking them with you. I just want to encourage you that there's someone that needs to hear the word of God in your life, and I want to encourage you this summer to continue that with that heart and that mindset. And when it comes to this coming Wednesday night with the talent show, I know I'm shifting really quick, but I do need to say this. We're specifically taking, we've done a potluck for years during that, but it's a little difficult to kind of run home and grab something to make and make some dinner or casserole or whatever it is you got to do and get here at 6 o'clock for all that. So we just took that off the table completely. So I don't want anybody to feel like, gosh, I don't have enough time to get there. If all you can do is just get here, then we're going to have a free barbecue for you. The other part, and so who's hosting a Belgian student here? Raise your hand if you are, besides Marty. But Marty, do you know, are they here Wednesday night? I'm just curious. They're not here Wednesday night. Well. A couple years ago, some of the Belgian students actually performed in the talent show. It was really cute. And so I just want to encourage you. As my daughter said, if you've got a hidden talent, and I thought that was funny when she said that, I thought there's probably a reason why a lot of people are hiding their talents. Knock it off. We need you to bring it. We need you to bring it. And so you've been gifted and talented, and some of you are amazingly gifted and talented, and I want you to bring it on that night. As of right now, and as far as I can see, we're going to have the shortest talent show in the history of talent shows. There's only a few acts that have signed up, and that's not unusual for us, but you can sign up at the information area. You can sign up online either way. And now, please, I want to encourage you, because what will happen is some mommy's going to come and her kid is more talented than your kid and they're going to want to do 9 acts. And if we don't have a bunch of people sign up, then I'm going to let them do their 9 acts. So you might want to make so it needs to be a variety show. All that being said, we're going to have a good time. I know I haven't gotten together with Jack yet, but we're going to rock it out a little bit. And David, are you going to help me out? We're going to rock it out at the end. We usually rock it out with something and have a little fun. So it's going to be a good time. Hey, Jack, when are you going in for your deal? Friday morning. Can we take a moment and pray for Jack? Jack's going in for three? Triple? Yes. Triple. Double-double's good, but a triple-triple? Come on now. He's going in for a triple bypass this Friday morning. And I just want to come against any anxiety. I want to pray a peace that surpasses all understanding over him. And then not only that, just for the doctors would be guided to do exactly what they need to do. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. We just stretch our hands out towards our brother. And Lord, even for Leanne right now and the whole family, give them a peace. Lord, encourage them. God, I pray you surround them with your glory this week, God. And Father, there is nothing in the world that's going to stop Jack from praising you, God. And so, Lord, I pray for complete, total work. Guide the doctor's hands. Let there be complete restoration. And, Lord, I pray that his recovery is faster than even he imagines. And, Lord, I just thank you that he'll be back playing quickly with us and excited about that. But, Lord, thank you for our brother. Thank you for his commitment to you and his commitment to this body. And now, God, we just ask you to meet him. Heal him, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. How cool would it be if they opened them all up? Oh, actually, it wouldn't be that cool if they get you all open. They might want to do something. But it would be cool if they opened you up and went, we don't have to do anything. It's kind of, you went through all that for all pain for nothing. But anyway, I just think that would be an awesome thing. We come to the portion of Scripture, and time is quickly escaping. Me, that's okay, y'all. I want to give you the word. So I'll make sure I get it all in as fast as I can. We come to the portion of the Scripture where we're in the Sermon on the Mount, or as we're in this series on Summer on the Mount, where Jesus kind of drills down on some things that I want to drill down on. And he starts in this part of the Sermon on the Mount by talking about how the heart is, or he kind of transitions and talks about how the heart is really the center of spirituality. Because the reality of it is they had become so accustomed to the rules being the center of spirituality. How many of you enjoy playing games with your family, like new board games or card games? And I enjoy it from time to time. But what I don't, when it's a new game, sometimes I get frustrated because I don't even want, and you know, somebody read the rules and then we'll play it through. I'd rather just play it through one time. Let's do a fake one. Somebody's got to know the rules, though. There's got to be at least one person that's got the rule book in their hand, but I just want to play it through. Let's just get on with it. You know, how many are with me like that? It's just like, the tediousness of, and then if you want, just make up some rules, you know? No, that's not the case when the word with the spirituality, they had become so accustomed to the rules that they literally had missed the heart of all the things that they'd been teaching in the religious circles. It goes on, it talks about, and for time's sake, I'm going to kind of save not reading the entire portion of Scripture, but you'll find it in Matthew chapter 5, and he starts in verse 21 and goes all the way down through verse 31, and he addresses three specific issues, and for time's sake, let me just hit them real fast. He talks about murder. He says, you've heard it said, in other words, the rules say, you've heard it said, don't commit murder. Isn't that a good rule? Yeah. Right? It's a good rule. It's a good one. It's a better rule if we follow it. He said, you've heard it said that you shouldn't commit murder, but I'm telling you, he said, do not murder, but anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I'm telling you that anyone who is angry with his brother, ouch, will be subject to the judgment. Wow. And then he goes on to kind of drill down into that a little bit and he talks about how if you have a problem with a brother or a problem with a sister so-and-so, you don't know what she's done to me, you should go to them, get it squared away, and then come to the altar and bring your offering before the Lord. Because what's happening is if you just go through the motions, you're just putting on a show and you're not really dealing with a hard issue. You're coming half-heartedly before the Lord. You're coming with some baggage. Now, God's not offended by your baggage, but he'd much rather have a pure offering that comes from a pure heart. Are you hearing me today? He talks about adultery. He said, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. Also a good rule. What do you think? Right? It's a good rule. But he goes on to double down on this in terms of the law. He says, I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her. And then he talks about divorce and talks about if you've given your wife a certificate of divorce and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like the heaviest part of Scripture. Let me just sum it up for you really quick because it can get really heavy, especially if you've dealt with any one of these. I pray that no one in there is a murderer or has murdered. But you might have dealt with something like this. Let's just say you might have dealt with a sin in your life. And let me say it. God's grace is sufficient. No matter what you've dealt with, no matter what your past is like, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace can overcome whatever the sin is. And so if I don't say that right here, you might start to fixate on something that, or even I might have even mentioned something already that you're like, oh gosh, you know, that's me. And he's hitting on something. It's not about that today. I want you to know there's enough grace for you. If you failed in any single area of your life, God's grace is here for you. And I want us to focus on where true spirituality comes from, because it comes from the heart and not from a bunch of rules and regulations. True love comes from the heart, not from the fact that I'm wearing a ring. That's just something symbolic, but it really means nothing unless there's a heart behind it, right? That God wants us, he wants our entire heart. And see, I want to focus on true spirituality being about the heart, because it's too easy to kind of overlook somebody maybe even with a good heart because they don't quite measure up. If you know the story, there's this great story how Israel had just switched from being governed by God through the prophets. And they wanted a king, and King Saul was a disaster. So they go after another king. And Samuel felt directed by God to go to Jesse and pick one of his sons to be king. And Jesse, of course, wheels out all the obvious choices, the stronger ones, the ones that might, you know, whatever. He wheels out all these people, and none of them measured up. But it was David who measured up. He rejected them, and he said these words: "People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." He was coming with the same mentality that I'm going to look for somebody that has a heart for this, not somebody that looks the part. I love sports, but mostly I love the heart behind stuff. I love the stories of overcomers. I love Rudy. You know the movie Rudy? I love it. Little short guy, 5 foot, nothing, 100 and nothing. But you got more heart than anyone else. I could quote the line. Because it's about the heart. And see, we'll look at the outward appearance, and we'll look at the obvious person sometimes, and God's looking at the heart. People, God wants us to know this today, that he wants our whole heart. If we'll seek him, we'll find him if we search for him with our whole heart. In the New Testament, Jesus, he got extremely frustrated with the religious people. In fact, he reserved his harshest words for the religious people. These people that were used to following all the rules and regulations, and that was their source of spirituality. And in fact, at one point he said, well, he calls them a few different things. He calls them fakes, hypocrites, blind guides, whitewashed tombs. He said, "You're all cleaned up on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones." We can come in and look all wonderful and get it. You can fool me. And I can fool you, but we're none of us fooling God. We look like whitewashed tombs. I love snakes, a brood of vipers. Yikes. Killers of the prophets. Oh, he had to throw that one out there. It's interesting to me that Jesus says from the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Anybody here want to see God? It starts with having a pure heart. Now, I didn't say a perfect heart, because I don't know anyone in here that's perfect. But I know a lot of folks in here. In fact, I would dare say all of you in here. You're here today, I believe, out of a pure heart. Not out of perfection. Maybe, excuse me for a second. Allergies are killing me because I was weed eating yesterday for a couple hours and I'm struggling. But all of you in this room, I believe, have a pure heart. You're here this morning. Why would you be at church at 9:44, unless you have a pure heart on a Sunday? There's so many other things you can do on a Sunday morning. But you're here and you're staring at me, hoping that there's something that you're going to be able to use tomorrow morning. The greatest compliment you can give me as a pastor is, "Pastor, what you said is really going to help me tomorrow on my job." That's the greatest thing you can say to me. Or "This really touched my heart and changed something." Or "I saw something different." It's practical. I want you to know that the Word of God is practical. The relationship that I have with God is practical. And it supersedes all the rules and regulations. And I'm not saying that we don't need rules and regulations. In fact, Jesus said, "I didn't come to abolish all that stuff. I came to fulfill all that stuff." It's all fulfilled in Christ. You could read that earlier in Matthew. It's all fulfilled in Christ. And so he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." I want to maintain a pure heart. And what does that mean, to maintain a pure heart? Well, there's so many times that the circumstances of my life can cause, if you will, the pipes to clog. To cause my vision to I begin to look at the situations around me and the circumstances around me more than I'm looking towards God. And I want to maintain a pure heart, because people who are pure in their heart will see God. Have you ever wondered how two people can experience identical circumstances and yet experience a completely different heart reaction? You know the story of the Good Samaritan. A man's beaten on the side of the road, and the same circumstances, the same person, different people walk by and have a different reaction. Why? Because of the heart. Because of the heart. There's something going on in the heart. Two women living in the Ravensbrück concentration camp in northern Nazi Germany. One is consumed by bitterness and hatred towards her enemy. The other, a Dutch watchmaker named Corrie Ten Boom, forgives the prison guards and who treats her cruelly and goes on with her life after the war. And then she travels to over 60 countries in the world teaching about the power of forgiveness. Same exact circumstances, two different people, yet one was able to take that message of forgiveness on through her life and carry it through her life. What's the difference? The heart. Not being judgmental. This is a reality. Two people can sit in church and hear a pastor encourage them to go out and take this great commission thing seriously, to go out and invite your friends. One will do it. Another will just, maybe. Two people sit in church. I've watched this happen. Two people sit in church that are literally living in a complete situation, as the scripture talks about earlier, having a problem with a brother. They've got an issue. Sister so-and-so has an issue with sister so-and-so. They sit on opposite sides of the church. They don't talk. The pastor talks. He does a whole series of messages on forgiveness. And you got people running to the altar, asking God to forgive them, and running back and asking people to forgive them, and people dealing with forgiveness. And these two people sitting in the same audience, hearing the same message, didn't hear a word. In fact, typically, we'll say, and I know of a specific situation I'm thinking of from my past, way back when we were first dating, of a couple of ladies in our church. And I remember them, I could see it almost on their face, them sitting there thinking, I'm sure glad she's here to hear this today. I could see it on their face. And they just, like, and it was a year. I don't even know if they're friends to this day. These are two people that sat next to each other in the choir. They hung out. They were the best of friends. I mean, they were like sisters. And now they wouldn't even talk. And they're sitting there hearing the same, a series of messages on forgiveness. And how forgiveness isn't even about the other person. It's for you. And yet we'll hold on to that thing. Because there's something going on in the heart. People could sit in the church and leave here today and miss it completely. I think the key is showing up to church with your heart a little bit more prepared, or trying to prepare your heart to receive. You know, like tilling this soil before you get here, so that I'm not just scattering seed. I don't know. That's a freebie. I want to suggest to you today that in every case where a person reacts the way God wants them to act, there's a person who sees God in the situation because they have a pure heart. When we act the way God wants us to act, we will see God. The purity of our heart comes out. When my heart is pure, I react to things differently. I don't react to, forget about two people. Let me just talk about me. When my heart is pure, I react the right way typically. When my heart is not pure, when I haven't spent my time with God, when I haven't given God the time that he deserves in my life, when I haven't given the Holy Spirit place, and guess what? That's literally a day-by-day, step-by-step thing. But when I begin to kind of like let other things slip in there, the pipes start getting clogged. I start getting cynical. I start getting critical, judgmental. I know just me. This is my problem. None of you deal with this. We allow the things, the pressures and the stresses of life to come in. And here's the thing. I want to be more compassionate, more caring. I want to be a person that's more loving. I want to be a person that, quite frankly, folks are excited to be around. Not ducking behind bushes so they don't see me. I say that because teenagers used to do that when I would visit them on campus. They're like, oh, it's Pastor Greg. Like, I see you. We can't be the people God wants us to be if we're becoming cynical and critical and judgmental. It's like when my heart is right, I have the purpose right. The purpose is still, when the heart is right, souls are the thing. It's not about whether the air conditioner's working or the technical things are going on and all that stuff. And all that stuff bothers me, but I've got to like continually deal with crucifying my flesh when it comes to that stuff because it's about souls. It's about God using me in this moment to reach your heart. When my heart's not pure, I stop running the race that God's put before me and I start just trying to outrun you. Figuratively, You know, it's like, well, I'm a little better than Jack. We don't say it, but we play it. We play it out in our heads and we play the games. And that's what Jesus is really addressing here, because the religious folks had kind of become that. It's like, who's, you know, they began to do things to kind of make themselves a little more spiritual or look a little more spiritual. Moses taught the children of Israel these words: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." He says, "Hear, O Israel." And I want to say this, I'm just the messenger this morning, but do you hear the still small within you, a voice within you today? Is there a whisper that the Holy Spirit is telling you to pay attention, that there's wisdom coming at you right now, 100 miles an hour, and that you should just, if there's a word that you just resonates with your spirit, you should grab that thing and hang on to it. And trust me, it's part of dealing with the impurities in your heart, and we've all got them. I love the scripture. It says, "If there be any wicked way in me, take it." I fall, I stumble, but I go to the Lord because I want to have a pure heart. I want you to know it's good that you come to church. Trust me, it's good that you serve in some capacity here at our church. It's good that you give your finances. Of course, we appreciate all that. Couldn't get it done without you. The air conditioners wouldn't be on this morning without your help. Understand that. But there's something even more important than the acts of goodness. It's our heart. It's coming after God every single day. God wants your heart. If you're serving to get brownie points with people, Galatians 1:10 says it this way: Am I trying to please God, or am I trying to please men? If I'm trying to please men, I'm not a true servant of Christ. If you're doing the service in order to gain favor with people, you're doing it for the wrong purpose. Your heart's not in the right spot, and that's a difficult place for God to bless, because your heart's not in the right spot. It's our heart. God's coming after our hearts. According to Moses, He's not after part of our heart. He's not after 50%, 80%. He wants all of your heart. All of your heart. 100% of your heart. God wants that this morning. Listen to these words from Paul. Because what happens is it begins right here. The scripture says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." It starts with a thought. I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says, "You know what? I'm going to go have an affair and become a heroin addict today." You know, it starts with a thought, but you're like, you know what would be a good idea? No, it starts with a thought, and if that thought is left untamed or cast down, not cast down, we run the risk of that thing taking hold and taking us down a place where we're not pure any longer. Here's what Paul says: "We walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments," or one version says imaginations, "and every high thing that exalts itself of the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So here comes the thought. I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be angry. Here's that. You can have the thought. We all have thoughts. That doesn't mean you have to give voice to the thought. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So be careful, because when you open your mouth, it tells on your heart. Ooh, hallelujah. That is a warning to me. It's a warning to all of us, but I want to take that warning. Be careful, because I don't want my mouth to betray my heart. See, what happens is the enemy knows that God wants to get a hold of your heart, and he's trying to do everything he can to pervert the message coming your direction. He's trying to do everything he can to cause you to not come after him with a pure heart. He wants to corrupt it. He wants to make it religious. He wants you to begin to think, well, you know, I do my part. I do more than anybody else around here. You know, those kind of thoughts begin to come in because of human nature. But you're not a partaker of human nature. You're a partaker of his divine nature. And his divine nature has released power over you to walk with a pure heart before him. I want to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Paul said this to the church in Rome: "What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. You might circle that if you have your Bible open to that scripture. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Interesting, though it jumped out at me last night as I was preaching this message. It talks about that you become a slave to this thing if it's unchecked. If it's a mindset that you didn't cast down if it's something that exalts itself above the knowledge that you have of God, and you fixate on that thing, you become a slave to that thing. This is what the scripture is saying. It's all you can think about. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart towards someone in your life, it typically you might even come through a worship service, but then all of a sudden they walk in the room. And if you can't deal with it, if their name can't come up without you going, we got an issue. We've got a heart issue. Are you hearing me? Listen, I'm speaking to me this morning as well, okay? I told you folks, I'm going to take you down the road that I'm going down, but I'm not trying to lead you in paths of my righteousness. I'm just trying to lead you in paths of his righteousness. And what's happening is he's fixing me, and while he's fixing me, I'm preaching to you. He's working on all of us at the same time. We're doing group therapy from the Word of God this morning. We got to cut some stuff loose because we become slaves to it. It's a mentality. It's a thought process. It's that's just the way I am. That's the way everyone's got to come to accept me, how I am. And I curse that in the name of Jesus. He is changing you. He is growing you. He is making you more like him as you call on him out of a pure heart. A person with a pure heart fights the battles in their minds, and they win those battles because they keep their thought life right. If the thought happens and you deal with it, that's the way we deal with it. Jesus stated, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you've been in church for longer than a minute, you've probably heard that scripture before. What it's basically saying is this. To be a Christian, you're going to have to come to this place where, and it starts in your mind, where you have a you agree with God in your mind that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You accept him as your Savior. You believe he died, but then he rose from the grave. You get all this head knowledge, and you agree with it, and now you apply it to your heart. What happened to me, I was raised in a religious tradition where I learned all the stuff, and it was all up here. And one day there was like a leak, and it leaked into my heart. Are you hearing me? It didn't leak. Some folks, it leaks out. So open-minded, their brain leaked out. But I was open to the Spirit of God. I was going to all these little Bible studies. I was raised one way, and I had all the rules. I had all the rules. And then I started going to Bible studies and finding out that I could have a relationship. Oh, it was like someone poked a leak in my boat. And all that religious stuff went, well, now I'm going to get it down in your heart, and you're going to see the reason why I have the rules. Let me just say this. You know, it's not about that the rules are bad. The rules are good. But here's what happens. The rules only magnify sin in our life. I want to walk out of a pure heart. That means I'm not, you know, every moment of every day, I'm not going, what if I sin right this second? Oh, I made it. I made it past that second. Great. Now this second. And then you're spending all your time thinking about the rules instead of spending your time trying to figure out, you just want to please God. And it's definitely more natural than that. God doesn't want you, yes, reverence, and the Bible says fear him and all that. But, you know, I have a reverence for my marriage. I don't fear my wife. Kinda. Put it this way. I'll say this. She actually doesn't want me to come home out of fear. She wants you to come home out of relationship. Hello? And that's the level that God's calling us to. This the marriage relationship literally is the closest kind of parallel that we can come up with is our relationship with the Lord. What am I saying? Just like in my relationships in my life with some of you as well. God wants me to continue to maintain a pure heart and you to maintain a pure heart towards me. Having a pure heart starts with winning this battle in our minds and casting those imaginations. Now here, let me finish because I need to finish up real quick. But here's the toughest part. When you're dealing with trying to maintain a pure heart, to me, this is the toughest part for me. And that's this, out of Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's 21 words out of this specific translation, 21 words that are really easy to recite. But when you take these words into consideration, you see there's three components. The mind says, I want to do the will of Christ. I mean, I think intuitively I can believe this, that most of us woke up this morning thinking to ourselves, at least if whether it was subconsciously, we thought, I want to please God today. I don't think anybody woke up this morning, you know what, today I'm just going to disappoint him on every level. That's not what we do. So it starts, the mind says, I want to do the will of God. The will says, I will pray and give thanks in every situation despite the circumstances. I'm not going to get my eyes on those circumstances. And my emotions take their marching orders from my mind because there's nothing about the circumstances that should bring me joy. But in the midst of the situation I'm dealing with, I'm not only getting joy, but I'm being strengthened because the joy of the Lord is my... That's what's going on. Because I'm maintaining a pure heart. As I surrender my whole heart to God, my mind and my will and my emotions. I'll say the word magically. I don't really like that word. Mystically, maybe. Worship team, why don't you come? As I surrender my whole heart to God, it's the mystery in a way that the word of God breaks into my soul, breaks into my heart. What I love about that is it breaks up the dry ground. Anybody have some dry ground in your life? Some stuff that needs to be stirred up? Anybody got some pipes a little clogged in terms of your heart? Yeah, I think we could all use a little spiritual Roto-Rooter this morning. And that's what Jesus is really coming to say to these religious folks. They've gotten so good. I mean, so good at following the rules that they've forgotten the heart behind it. They've fallen out of love with their first love. I don't think God wants us to go there. We sang a song earlier. We're going to sing it right now, The King of My Heart, because that's what he wants to be. Because my heart, the Bible says, delights in the law of the Lord. And because I meditate on those laws day and night, God will plant me like a tree by the rivers of living water, and I'll bring forth fruit in my season. The reason why God wants your heart is because his desire is to produce fruit through you and in you, in your life. And it's fruit that will satisfy you, but it will satisfy the people around you. It will spill out on them. We're not blessed to just be blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing. Let me just finish with this. God is more concerned about your heart than your performance. He just is. I know a lot of people that, I don't know them, but I've watched a lot of people. I mean, I've seen some incredible vocalists. I took my wife to see Celine Dion. Yeah, guys, I did that. You take one for the team once in a while. Three songs in, I was like, oh man, this is good. It was really good. I've seen polished, I've seen people with great, way better preacher skills than I have in that sense. It's just, if I was to sit back in my human ways and compare myself, I would fall so short, I'd just go back to washing dishes. But I know this. God will bless my ministry. He'll bless your efforts. He'll bless your acts. He'll bless your talent as you bring it Wednesday night, if you'll just bring it with a pure heart. And I've watched people like a Celine Dion sing and touch my heart in a sense. But then I'll see something like happen this, I believe it was last week, but I watched a video of an autistic, blind young man playing the piano and singing on one of America's Got Talent or one of those shows. And I just wept. And I wept. And I just thought to myself, man, what is wrong with you? What was happening is that you could just hear the purity of this person's heart. Not that Celine's not pure, but we can become so polished that we lose the purity. And the purity that God wants is just you to go, you know what, God, here I am again today. Thank you, Lord, that I am a mess, but you're turning me into a message because I'm going to maintain a pure heart. Will you stand with me this morning?